Listen to this podcast for an update on the Patriots roster. Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and you're listening to the Roster Report podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's October 27th, which makes it the last Friday before Halloween. We're going to give you all the spooky details right here from Gillette Stadium with Brian Lowe, Tom Casale, Andy Hart, and Paul Perillo.
And this is the Patriots Roster Report podcast. It is a Friday here at Gillette Stadium. We're talking about the Patriots roster as they head into Monday night's game at the Minnesota Vikings. The transactions of note, the only transaction since we last came to you, the Patriots elevated Billy Yates to the active roster before last Sunday's game, filling a void created when Russ Hochstein was injured, and the Patriots signed Brian Barthelmess, an offensive lineman, to the practice squad. He had been with the team during the offseason and part of training camp. Now, certainly the offensive line is an area that the Patriots are a little banged up. Three players on the injury report from the offensive line, Russ Hochstein, Nick Kazier, and Stephen Neal. Assuming those guys, all three of those guys are questionable. Two of them are guards, one of them a tackle. Stephen Neal, of course, the one starter of that three. What do you guys know about their status, and do you feel as though the team is going to be a little undermanned on the offensive line as they head into Monday night? Paul?
You're throwing it directly at me?
It's just become a tradition. We send it your way. No, you don't have to answer that
question, Paul, I think I'll answer it because Andy likes to know that, as Andy knows, I like to talk.
We all know.
I think there is some questions in terms of the depth there with the interior linemen and Stephen Neal not really all that present in the locker room during the course of the week. Now, I did see him a little bit yesterday afternoon. There was an event here at Gillette Stadium that he was a part of. It'll be interesting to see how banged up both he and Hochstein are. Obviously, Russ was not able to make the trip last week and play in the game, so I would say it's at least something that's fairly significant. The question would be, I think, would this lead to a roster move? Would someone maybe have to get placed on IR so they can either elevate somebody else from the practice squad or figure out a way to get some added depth in the case that Hochstein and or Neal were just unavailable for the Vikings game.
And going into the Sunday game against Buffalo last week, Hochstein and Kazier both were unavailable. Neither one of them traveled. So at tackle, they were three deep at tackle with Matt Light and Ryan O'Callaghan and then Wesley Britt, the backup at those positions. So, you're probably not going to go into a game with more than three tackles, but if Kazier once again is unable to go, there's some depth issues there, I guess, as well. And Hochstein's injury came during the bye week, I believe, from practice because he played against Miami and then was unavailable last week. And we haven't really seen much of him or heard much from him recently. So, as you mentioned, IR, hard to say what his status is. He has a knee injury, but perhaps he's a candidate if they need to fill some voids there.
He did walk through the locker room yesterday with a left knee brace on. So, he's walking at least. It's not to the severity where we haven't seen him being mobile. He was coming from the weight room, so I'm sure he was doing some sort of rehab work. So I don't think it's he's not on crutches, let's say, at this point. That doesn't mean if you get down to a numbers game,
Right. Sometimes
you're forced into those IR moves.
Right, it doesn't necessarily mean that Hochstein would be unable to play through the month of January. It just means that
Right. Somewhere
along the line you need to have enough guys on the 53-man roster.
The key would be Neal. If Neal could play, I would think that you can be more patient with Hochstein. If Neal can't play, then maybe you have to put Hochstein on IR. Or you might find, and Andy brought up yesterday.
You'd go a different way. I think Hochstein's reached a point with this team where he is your interior veteran backup.
He's your backup at all
three
positions.
You want him for a potential December, January run in the playoffs. I think you'd probably go a different direction, maybe Iwoma or one of those special teams types, or a guy like Garrett Mills, who hasn't done anything. Maybe he goes, comes up with a convenient injury and ends up on IR. So I think Hochstein will be a little lower down the list of choices where they'd like to go with
that. He is your primary backup at all three interior offensive line positions, and he's proven to do pretty well when called upon, especially last year with Dan Copen being out. And I think Logan Mankins is your backup center. I know he's taken some snaps.
Yates has taken snaps in preseason at center.
Yates and Mankins, I guess, would be considered.
And they also have Dan Stevenson.
Dan Stevenson on the practice squad. Right. They right now have three offensive linemen, I believe, on the practice squad with Barthelmess, Stevenson, and Sean Boubin as well. Now, the other line, the defensive line, has certainly been in question this week, revolving around Richard Seymour, who has his elbow injury. He's appeared at practice both Wednesday and Thursday during the time that media is able to see practice. On Wednesday, he had a clear brace or wrap around his elbow. Yesterday, he was in long sleeves, but you can assume that he had the brace. It's an elbow injury, so I guess he's able to do some conditioning work, but it's hard to say what he's really been doing at practice. What do we think we're going to see out of him? Do we think we're going to see him on Monday night? And if so, what kind of limitations will there be?
I say no.
I sort of agree.
I don't think he's going to play.
I think he is going to play.
I think he's going to give it an effort. Now, you know, maybe he gets out on the field in pregame and it's just too stiff, too sore. You know, one thing he talked about in the locker room yesterday was strength. You know, the strength of the elbow. You know, and he obviously, being a lineman, that's your leverage, your strength,
absolutely,
fighting blockers off, is sort of the key to your game. You know, he talked a lot about it was a gruesome visual on film with his arm planted,
yep,
and it got hit by Rodney Harrison, actually. He feels like he avoided a major injury, but it clearly is an issue. He has the brace. You know, I don't know how much that would limit him. And again, it's the strength factor. Is he out there? Is he able to defend himself to the level he needs to play? And I think he'll be able to go.
Just a hunch. I know Andy's answer, obviously, because he thinks he's going to play. But, Tom, I kind of agree with you. I'm leaning toward no, although I think it's a little bit closer than I thought it was earlier in the week after he spoke in the locker room yesterday. But do you think that he'll make the trip and think it'll be a true game-time decision?
I think he makes a trip.
Yeah, I think he'll make the trip. I just think if it's his elbow and he can't flex it and move it as well, you probably want to give him one more week off. I know they don't take any games and say, well, we don't need to win these, but like you guys said in the past, you know, they got the Colts coming up, they got the Jets coming up, and in the whole scheme of things, those games are more important because they're conference and divisional games. So if he's 75%, I hold him out one more week and let him recover.
It gets down to the debate, 75% Seymour, where does that fall into place with a 100% Jarvis Green or a 100% Mike Wright? Actually, as the more we talk about it, you're kind of swaying me.
Well, I think
it's a smokescreen. I don't think he plays.
Well, and you know, and I brought that up to somebody in the organization yesterday. Is this a smokescreen? And the reply back was, I don't see any smoke. So I don't know.
So there's a screen.
But there's no smoke. There's no screen.
Well,
so there is a screen,
which I didn't follow up with. So there is a screen. So you're saying there's a screen?
Now, what's
more of a haze screen?
What's sort of flown under the radar with the talk about Seymour is that Ty Warren is also questionable on the injury report with a shoulder. Now, if Richard Seymour was not on the injury report, Ty Warren would be a big deal being questionable. So if we're going just by the numbers, they're both 50-50. By the
one
numbers,
of them
one
play.
Plays, one doesn't.
I say Warren plays and Seymour doesn't now, because Tom convinced me.
Well, you know, if either one of them doesn't play, obviously that's a big hit to the defensive line, but we've talked about some of the backups, Jarvis Green, Mike Wright, and even Marquise Hill, who really has had no impact this year, but could be pressed into duty if Seymour and or Warren are not in there. In terms of Warren, what do we think about him? He has a shoulder injury, so, again, strength.
Are you telling me that Marquise Hill is going to be going up against Bryant McKinney?
I'm telling you there's a chance.
If there's a chance of that, there's not much chance of the Patriots coming out victorious.
Well, there's only a chance of that probably if Richard Seymour and Ty Warren both play. If, you know, I mean, they do
Warren
have to
play.
Yeah,
has he ever missed a game?
Warren has never missed a
uniform?
Game. Warren has not missed a game.
I saw him in the locker room. He looked pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean,
and he was also at practice, correct? I mean, he's also
been
the Paul Perillo medical role. I saw him in the locker room. He looked pretty good.
From PFW. Oh, he'll play.
He wasn't limping. He was fine.
And going back to the question about Paul posed to Tom with Seymour, does he travel? Is there anything to the idea that, yes, these guys will travel, if only because the Patriots have to announce to the world on Sunday that a guy doesn't travel?
Yes.
Is there something to that? There is. Right?
I don't think so.
You don't think there's anything to it?
No.
Not with a guy like travel for the sole purpose of not having to say he didn't travel.
I agree with that.
I don't think with Seymour. It's funny. I disagree because I think with a guy of his stature, if you truly think that he's out Sunday, I don't think he travels. It's probably likely that it's more of a game-time decision and he does travel.
But
they know that he's out, I don't think they make him travel.
Really?
For a smokescreen. I don't think they do that to him. Much like they didn't do it to him in Denver a couple years ago.
Well, that was, and I was going to bring that up because
that's why the rule's in place.
So the rule has changed. And Seymour, correct me if I'm wrong, was probable going into that game. And the rule or the wording on what probable means has also changed, because probable at that time was 75% chance to play. Now it's virtual certainty, which, let's face it, who isn't, I guess, a virtual certainty? But, you know, Tom Brady's on the list every week as probable. But so definitely the two lines are definitely in question in terms of injuries. Also, we have Kevin Faulk is questionable with an ankle injury. And, you know, that's you know, we know what his role has always been historically, and that also brings into question the Patrick Pass. Once again, I think we're into the second week now of the window of opportunity for Pass to come off of PUP. Anything new that you guys know of in terms of his status?
Day-to-day, he's getting closer.
Day-to-day, just like the head coaches.
Bill said.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure he is getting closer, but if you don't need him, and we clearly have talked about not only do they not need him, there might be a roster decision there when he comes back.
Right.
Why do you rush it? I don't think you need to rush it at this point. You take the full window, see how it develops. You know, if Evans gets hurt or Mills gets hurt, somebody gets hurt, then maybe you have a little more pressure to get him going. But right now, I think you take full advantage of the window that's there.
Yeah, and I don't think you need pass like you did in years past because Brown can return punts and Maroney can take over the pass catching that I mean, he's not quite as good at it as Falk is, but he can take that role over where Pass used to do it in the past.
Right. Very well done. Very well said.
How'd
Pass
like
in the
that?
Past. But you're right. The different roles that Patrick Pass has provided to this team are sort of taken care of at this stage. They have enough weapons in the offensive backfield, return game, and all that. So the longest injury report of the year so far for the Patriots: 10 players questionable, 3 others who are probable. And
the season's still young.
Right. And for Minnesota, they currently have 8 players on the injury report, 6 of them questionable, 2 probable. Of those 8, 4 of them are wide receivers. One of them is old friend Bethel Johnson, who is probable with a hamstring injury. But because guys like Marcus Robinson, Troy Williamson are questionable.
Robinson has been reported out
from the
Minnesota media.
And I'm still not buying it, by the way.
Okay. Well, we don't have to worry about him traveling or not traveling since it's
that's
long
true.
Game, so we may have to wait until the very end. But, you know, Bethel Johnson, it's possible that he will have a greater role. He's only played one game for them, and I think he had kickoff returns and one carry. I think that was on a reverse, but it's possible we'll see a little bit of him in the receiving game. So a lot of intriguing storylines in play as we head into this Monday night game against Minnesota, the Patriots' only Monday night game of the year. They'll be heading out on Sunday and playing their first of 4 NFC North foes this Monday night. That is going to wrap up the Patriots Roster Report podcast. For Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale, I'm Brian Lowe. Let's send it back to Laurie.
Thanks, guys. Join us again next week for a brand new Roster Report podcast. Have a happy Halloween. As always, thanks for listening, and go Pack.